eloquently put it. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. The depth of this statement took a while for me to understand. Over the course of the past decade, my professional work in film, television, and online media has, to my humble amazement, been experienced by roughly 250 million people and translated into more than 130 languages. I have spoken in 12 countries, given hundreds of hours of interviews and expositions via radio shows and podcasts, and answered literally thousands of questions from people concerned about the state of society. Yet, in my various attempts, effective communication is still something of an ongoing experiment, especially when it comes to the content presented here. Naturally, any idea, theory, or proposal is only as valuable as how well it is relayed. Each individual is a complex mix of rational thoughts and convoluted biases. There is a threshold of rationality when it comes to the human condition, and I state this not from a paternalistic standpoint, but from the standpoint of just another flawed emotional mind. True intelligence is self-awareness, including a sense of just how wrong you likely are most of the time as a result of your biases. As with any educational content, the more controversial the subject matter, the more difficult the communicative challenge. And there isn't anything more controversial than questioning culture itself. Being the social creatures we are, our very identity is linked to the values and traditions that surround us. This gravitation is largely out of our control. Hence, questioning culture and its norms invariably turns the question to oneself. This is delicate territory, no doubt. Contemplating this problem led me to the context of this work, as inspired by the writings of Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was born into chattel slavery in the American South in the early 19th century. After escaping to freedom in the North, he became one of the most outspoken and effective leaders of the American abolitionist movement. His work led me to recontextualize my activist focus under the umbrella of civil or human rights. Douglass's literary style itself was also influential. His writing is deliberate, incisive, and motivating. There is idealism and yet pragmatism existing at once. So not only do I hope the core argument of this work will be properly embraced as an extension of the global abolitionist movement, I also hope it will be as efficient in form and tonality as I found Douglass's literary expression to be. As for detail, much here has been necessarily generalized in an attempt to be concise and accessible. The caveat, of course, is that I have made assumptions about what readers may or may not already be familiar with. While I have done my best to avoid unnecessary complexity, tedious clarifications, and fringe terminology, there is only so far one can go before generalizations become self-defeating. Given this, the reader is encouraged to review the source material in the endnotes. A great deal of care has been taken to anticipate unfamiliar subjects, providing rather extensive references to help further exploration and justification. A glossary has also been added to help with custom concepts and general clarity. In most cases, terms presented in italics are included in this glossary. Regarding form, the style here is a combination. Publishing interests originally requested not only a treatment on social justice, but also something of a memoir. This approach did not strike me as productive initially. First, it seems confusing to mix a serious treatment about socioeconomics with personal anecdotes. Second, in the past, I have deliberately not talked about my life history or myself in any real way, as I generally find it inhibiting to an audience's judgment. My goal is not to impose conclusions from the position of authority, but to show the reasoning or train of thought that arrives at those conclusions. Yet, because I am not credentialed in any particular way, coming from a self-educated perspective, it has been difficult to crack the vault of mainstream dialogue. While I certainly have done my homework over the past decade, exploring hundreds of texts on social theory, history, and economics, I have no plaques or honorary degrees to impress you with. Given the emphasis our society places on perceived authority, the cynicism I often sense is not surprising. It is also natural that in our fast-paced, time-deficient world, most people simply want someone to tell them what to think. Yet there is a serious problem here, as there is a tendency by modern academia to perpetuate existing normative assumptions, especially when it comes to socioeconomic theory. Most people who rise through the ranks of orthodox higher education